Next on the agenda, we have corporate services, and Chris, if you can kind of lead us into this.
Sure, so just a continuation of updating the job descriptions for staff to make them more relevant to actually what they do. Many people's jobs change over time, so this, these five are simply a reflection of their actual job responsibilities they do today. And so there's a couple of minor job title changes. None of the salary ranges have changed, all the salary ranges are the same. And so they're just an update of wording and responsibilities.
Great, thank you. We have 9.1, job description of the bylaw officer recommendation. Do I have a mover for that? Moved by Kevin Hughes, seconder. Seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Pretty straightforward. Okay, all those in favor?
We have to.
We have to read the motion.
Oh, sorry, okay, we would like to read the motion.
Sound like a, I know, repetitive thing, this.
I move that the council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised bylaw enforcement officer job description.
Okay, this has been moved by Councilor Hughes, seconded by Councilor Kelly. All those in favor? Contrary minded, motion carries. Getting ahead of myself here. 9.2, job description recommendation. Can I have someone make that motion, please? Councilor Clancy?
I so move that the council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised building slash fire official job description attached.
Do I have a seconder? Councilor Fisk, any discussion? All those in favor? Contrary, that motion is carried. 9.3, job description, director of engineering and public works recommendation. Do I have a mover? Councilor Kelly?
I recommend that the council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised director of engineering and public works job description attached.
Any discussion on that motion? We have a seconder? Councilor Hughes, any discussion? Councilor Kelly?
I just want to, I mean, this is for all of them, and I know that CAO did mention that, but this does not have any impact on our current budget.
No changes in any salaries.
No changes in that, okay.
Okay, do I have all those in favor? Contrary, that motion is carried. 9.5?
Four.
9.4?
I just did that.
No.
9.4.
Assistant director, sorry.
Yeah. 9.4. Have a motion? Councilor Fisk?
I so recommend that the council of the Region of Queens approve revised assistant director of engineering and public works job description attached.
Have a seconder? Councilor Hughes? Any discussion on this one? All those in favor?
Heather.
Contrary? Motion carried.
I think that's good.
9.5.
What?
Solid waste clerk. Have a motion? Councilor Hughes?
I move that the council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised solid waste clerk safety officer job description.
Have a seconder? Councilor Fisk? Any discussion on this one? All those in favor? Contrary? That motion carries. I think that looks after 9.9 corporate services. Now we have engineering and works. Bud Risk Study, and Brad Roder is with us to give us a little background. Brad, good morning.
Morning.
How are things with you?
So far, so good.
Take it away.
So,
I'll get my stuff here. Of course, everyone's familiar with the ongoing problem with flooding within the downtown parking lot, primarily area Liverpool, although it does extend beyond that, of course. I prepared this report. I won't reread it. I'm assuming everyone read it. It outlines the problem and the importance of looking at some corrective measures on that problem. It's a problem that it's going to increase over time because it's due to climate change. Climate change is raising sea level. That's well recognized by everybody, I would say, other than a few people that are stubborn, but not in this room. With that, you not only get a rise in sea level, and of course, the sea level is affected by the Earth's crust is in our area sinking a little bit because of some post-glacial rebound that's happening. But what climate change is, it raises the temperature and encourages these big storms to come. And that's what we see. We see the storm surge. So a lot of our problem isn't just by static sea level rise, although that will occur over time. It's the storm surge that's coming in. And that's why, you know, people say the storms getting worse or getting worse. It's because the temperature is going up and we're seeing more development of these storms and we're seeing greater effect. So our immediate problem, of course, as we know, is the downtown parking lot. What we need to look at is we need to look at some short-term measures to mitigate that, to prevent that, but also we need to expand beyond that because, you know, when that parking lot problem is fixed, we still have flanked areas on either side throughout time that the sea level and the storm surge will come around the sides. It's coarse, right? You know, it's like filling a coffee cup and putting your hand on one side. It's going to spill out the other side. The situation for us is you don't want an over-engineered, an overbuilt structure. You can't design right now for something that's 50, 75 years out. All right, you can't do that. All right, so you have to have it moderately designed to handle reasonable storms. Of course, if you get a superstorm that comes in, it's not going to handle it. All right, and you can't handle that unless you want to live with a seawall. And then there was talk of our waterfront on the Sax Throne just a few minutes ago, and that's what struck me. I mean, you can imagine that with a big seawall in front of you. You won't see the shoreline, so you can't have that. All right, but there is some compromise there, of course, right? So we'll look at that. We'll have to see what that compromise is. We'll see a good solution that will address our problems by now. And we put an RFP out that closed on September 18th, just a few days ago, last week it was, Tuesday I think it was. And I sent some questions out to them, and you can see what I've asked for them to look at. It's number 1 through 5 here, culminating with a detailed design within the town parking lot site and some more conceptual designs on either side of it and how it may integrate together in the future. We received 2 submissions back, one from CVCL Limited and one from GHD. Both of those submissions, there's no doubt in my mind, they do a bang-up job for us. So technically adept, both of them. So it came down to level of effort. When we looked at it, and I looked at it, the CBCL on their professional fee side, which was essentially the same as the other proponent, they had a 25% greater number of man-hours assigned to the project. And it's really hard to get over that. A little bit more level of effort assigned to the project. So in addition, they did assign a geotechnical program because, of course, as we know, the town parking lot site is all reclaimed land and it has quite variable fill in it. It depends on where you build. You may get an old wharf or you may get one of the water areas in between that's just was infilled with Lord knows what, right? And we've seen that. We've seen that before when we built the VIC here a few years ago. I remember that was just couldn't find a bottom at all, right? Couldn't find a bottom at all on that. So anyways, I recommended CBCL based on the strength that they put a greater level of effort into it. You know, significant 25% additional man hours. The other competing firm, GHD, I would have been totally comfortable with them as well, but they missed the mark a little bit on level of effort. So propose that we get the work done by CBCL. If you approve it, we'll move right into scheduling some meetings with them because we need to get this work wrapped up before the end of the fiscal year. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions, Councillor? Councillor Johnson?
75. It's 75, our budget is 75, and that budget is split 50-50 with the province and ourselves.
I don't know if you saw it or hope CBCL saw the article on 60 Minutes the other night.
Yes, I watched that, yeah.
That's some forward thinking about flood mitigation and hopefully it'll.
Yeah, that's, they're in a bit of a unique position in Netherlands. That's their entire country, right? If they lose flood protection, they don't have a country. So they put a lot of effort into that.
Any other questions? Councilor Kelly?
I was under the impression that our provincial level of support was $75,000. So what was the?
37.5 from us, 37.5 from the province.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Brad, I just have a question. And you're talking about level of effort. And you say that CBCL has included 25% more man hours. So would that be, like, what constitutes the man hours? Do they list where those are coming from in their?
That's right. What you look for when you go for a proposal, you want to know who's assigned to each task of the project, who the people are, the actual names and what their qualifications are, how many hours are going to spend on every task. And then, of course, they assigned hourly rates to those hours, follow through the flow chart to come down, and then they add some disbursements on it to get the final price. CBCL, I think they had 500 and, this is on the professional end, let's have a look. They had 544 hours total, and GHD had 435 hours. And that's quite a difference, right? You know, that's 109 hours, so 25%. And, you know, that's both at the same total amount of cost. So, and essentially, CBCL's hourly rate is about 25% less than GHD's.
Oh, I see.
Because they both had these, you know, almost to within a couple hundred dollars, the total amount of the professional fees was the same.
Mm-hmm.
But CBCL was supplying more labor. And there is going to be a fair amount of labor because it's not just controlling the amount of water that's coming in from the shoreline. We've got that entire storm drainage network, right? And the permeability of that soil that needs to be addressed. So there is quite an inherent design problem that needs to be fixed, and that's going to take some time.
In their proposal, then in their submission, they include, like, they're not just doing a study of this; they're actually putting together the whole work plan on how to put this.
And the proponents didn't quite understand that, and I was pretty firm with them. No, we don't want a paper study here. We have enough studies. We know it floods. We don't need you to tell us it's going to flood. We know that. We want some design work to mitigate that problem, right? And because you know, sometimes these type of firms, they get into floodplain studies and, you know, mapping and all that. Don't need that, all right? We don't need that. We know what the problem is. We just want to fix it now.
So then if this is approved, then that those documents are then, once they get this information passed on to us, then we hire someone to do the mitigation work? Is that
well, what we would do then, we assume, that we'll wait for a proper funding project, you know, with support of other levels of government, because it'll be expensive. And then we'll look at it and see if we can manage to tackle it as a capital project.
Are you including the, I know you said something about the fact that this is actually the waterfront parking lot area, and then in future it will kind of make its turn around to where the shipyard point is, or I still refer to it as that?
Well, it's basically
will
that
you go resolve any issues there?
Well, you look at it worst to first. You know, our worst flooding problem is the town parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what you need to address first. But as storm events continue to rise, sea level continues to rise, the Prideteer Park, you know, all in around there, Shipyard Point, all those areas need to be looked at. And to what point some work can be phased or added to this work, right? In terms of having an integrated design. So it doesn't look like just an assembly of different thoughts. You need to think the whole thing through, and then you implement based on your greatest risk. Address your greatest risk first. That's the downtown parking lot, right? And then you work outward. Now, working outward, that, you know, that would be some time before that work gets completed, right? And there may be new climatic data by that time as well. And that's why I was saying before, is don't over-engineer, don't over-design something early on. Protect what you need for, you know, foreseeable future, but don't try to protect something 50, 75 years out right at a date.
Back then, when this is, did you say April? See you earlier.
Yeah.
April,
right.
That we'll get a reply back, or early next year, we'll get a report back.
Yes, correct.
And are you expecting to see one solution? Are you expecting to see levels of solutions?
No. What I imagine what will happen is they'll present a few.
Okay.
We'll call a few three different scenarios on how that may be accomplished.
Okay.
We'll evaluate them and then select for them
okay.
the one for them to work on.
Before we make the motion,
yeah.
I just had one
yeah,
comment.
Oh, sorry,
Brad.
Second.
Maybe I'm not sure how well this information is out there. Maybe you can just direct the CBCL, assuming the passing of this motion, that the Southwest Nova Biosphere, their Science Atlas project, in coordination with the Geographic Science, NSCC,
yep.
has some excellent data on floodplain and 10-year projections. If they're not aware of it, it would be great to get that plugged in.
And that is part of their mandate, is to research all of those reports that are applicable to the area.
Maybe you can help.
But yep, we'll do.
Yeah. Thank you. Good. Member Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award CBCL Limited the Liverpool Coastal Flooding Mitigation Study in the amount of $74,878 plus HST.
Seconder, Member Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? This includes does not include HST, but that's refundable back to
that. Portion
of that,
yeah.
So it's closer to $75,000. Okay, all those in favor? Contrary? Motion carried.
No, I'm going to talk about the capital projects.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Updates on projects.
Sure. Our capital projects, the remaining that we have to do for the year is obviously winding down as the year goes on. And the finish is near on our two sewer and water projects. And we do need to wrap them up over the next month. From there, we will be focusing on outstanding maintenance on buildings, sidewalks, curbs, gutters, storm, sanitary sewers, water department, pump stations, balance of asphalt maintenance, bush cutting, and so on. So there's a lot of work to be done yet with not a whole lot of calendar left. So that's it overall. Specifically talking about the two projects, Union Street, Mill Lane first. Our upgrades there, the water, the sanitary sewer, the storm sewer, catch basin sewer and water laterals, they're all installed, functioning, and in use. The curb, gutter, and sidewalk is approximately 85% complete. We had to remove some of the existing curb, gutter, and sidewalk that we did plan on leaving in sections within Union Street. We had to take that out in the end. The grading on the street with that was too compromised, and some of that was in poor condition, so we removed that. So it's essentially new curb and gutter throughout. We didn't remove them, Nova Scotia Power removed them. Two utility poles, they're relocated, they're being rewired yesterday and today. That provides better street alignment and better exit from Church Street onto Union, that right-hand move. So that's, we did what we could. They are moved it as much as we could, given the clearances from overhead power to the nearest structure, because there is regulation there, you can only go so far. The grading and shaping of the road base will begin next week, which will lead to paving before the end of October. We project probably to be under budget on that project somewhere between 5 to 10% once all costs come in. Brooklyn Sewer and Water. The sewer and water mains are installed, the underground lines. The water's live and available for connection. The sewer is not available yet. Their work remains to be done on the pump station, primarily through electrical hookup by Nova Scotia Power, then leading to the pump station commissioning by electrician and the instrumentation technician. That's scheduled for next week. When the pump station is operational, then we need to go back to Markland Avenue, excavate the very bottom of Markland Avenue and Shore Road to eliminate the sewer outfall to the harbor that has existed probably for 75 years or so. That will eliminate that raw sewer water discharge at that location. We will then bypass that sewer to the new sanitary sewer mains and through to the new pump station that we constructed this year. The sewer will then be conveyed to the South Queen Sewer Treatment Plant for treatment via the Brooklyn Sewer that runs down through Sandy Cove, a sewer line that we've been progressively constructing off and on. We had to take a few years off to do landfill, watering plant, those type of things, probably for the last 15 years or so, 15, 17 years we've been at that. The notices for the mandatory sewer connection will be sent out towards the end of next week. We'll be sending those notices out, and of course the rule is, if any part of your structure is within 100 feet of the street line, you are required to hook into the sewer system. That is our bylaw. The water connection is optional. That's their choice. It's available for use if they show wish to use it. Right. Following that will be the road base preparation, paving, shouldering, landscape, and that type of thing. All of this expected to be done by the end of October. Cost-wise, we expect to be under budget by about 5% or so once all costs come in. And of course, it takes a while for all the costs to come in when you see a job. But adding up everything that I know of, things that I think will happen, that's about where we're at. So we're not over budget, we're a little under budget, so that's good.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay.
Any questions? Did you answer?
Yes. Brad, this is something different from what we're talking about. Councilor Christian and I were talking about this morning. With the water shortage and things, we see so many people coming to the well now. It isn't just people coming to the well, it's what they're bringing and what they're getting for water and things, and the usage that's been used, and what they're using. I wonder what some people are using it for, if there's other ways of getting water rather than using that pump, because that pump in a well, I mean, the well will run dry. I don't know if there's any kind of signage or something we can put in to say, get people to, you know, if there's an evil thing, that's one thing, but if it's something you get out of the river, you know, or something, that's, you know,
you see a lot of water usage, I'll grant you that, but that well is some well.
Oh, it is.
Right? That is some well. I can't tell you exactly what the yield is, but it is tremendous. We actually did replace the pumps just before this drove, actually.
Yes.
Coincidentally, if you recall that, and you know, that, I guess, was dumb luck, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to call it that.
Yeah.
Because it would have failed, and it would have failed during the drought.
Exactly.
Right? I don't know. I mean, you can post, but, you know, that's what that well's for,
yeah.
Right? You know,
I also say too that I don't know if it's a needful thing, but to be able to have a second pump there that's tied in that you could be able to turn on and just reposition so you ever get it caught into a spot like that, that the other pump you would have there to use.
Yeah. See, it's not supplying the pump is a problem.
Right.
Once you introduce that into the well, well then you've got to go test it, you got to chlorinate it, right? Because you know, so that. The timeline is not getting on the phone and getting a pump here.
Absolutely.
All right. That's not the timeline that takes time to put your well out of service. So I can't really see us, that wouldn't really save us. Maybe a couple hours, that's about it.
But I'm thinking that if the pump went, if the whole thing about it is, if you had two pumps connected to the same system, that one pump went, then you could just go to the other one, and you wouldn't have to go through all that process because you haven't actually lost it. You just lost the pump.
Yeah, we could do that, but I'm pretty comfortable with what we have there now. It's satisfactory.
Any other comments? Councilor Hughes?
Councilor Fancy, I've seen people filling up barrels, and I couldn't understand it. But I asked one person, and what they told me was they've taken it home and dumped it in their well, so that they could have a shower, you know. And I thought, well, that is a good idea. I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, how much can that well handle? That's what they were doing with their well.
Yes, Deputy Mayor, may I be excused? I have to attend the funeral in Amherst.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Fred, are we one of the very few communities that offer the well service that we have?
I don't have the data on that, but I suspect we are, mm-hmm. Right?
Well, you know,
it's rare.
Very rare. And what it saves is the consumption of clock water, you know, and the waste, and the recycling of all that. So we're happy to have it.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, that brings us down to number 11, finance. Recreation Community Facilities 12.0. Nothing planned there other than we will have the Recreation Strategy Plan in 16. 13.0, planning. Mike, if you can come up and give us an update on what's proposed for the planning sessions, and we have one last thing.
You buy one? Lindsay. I'll give that to you.
Yes, I'm going to give a brief update as to where we stand now with the Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw Review Project, which we currently have underway. As you're all aware, we've contracted the services of Upland Planning and Design Studio to carry out the formal review of our Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw. On July 30th, staff and the Planning Advisory Committee had a startup meeting with Upland to kick the project off. At that meeting, we discussed the major themes and issues that we'd be looking at during the process, public engagement, project identity, as well as the work plan that will be undertaken over the approximately 18 months duration of the project. So. As well as some other logistical items. So since that kickoff meeting, we've gone through a branding exercise for the project, and officially, I guess the project is Queens Planning for the Future. So everything you'll see coming out, the documentation will be utilizing that theme for the duration of the project. Upland has also been working on establishing a standalone project website, which will look at keeping the public up to date on the status of the project, upcoming meetings, some of the background information that they'll require for the project. So the project or the website is up now. It's at queensplan.com is the website, and they're currently working on populating some of the background information on that. But the website's up with
some of the important dates of upcoming sessions that will be held. So, Upland has also been working on the preparation of an engagement plan, is how they will engage the public throughout this process. The public engagement is certainly an integral part, and they're looking at several rounds of public information meetings, as well as some focus group meetings, and they're conducting a number of pop-up meetings where they'll just during a particular event or something going on, they'll just pop up, put a booth up, and try to get some public input via that avenue. As well, there'll be an online survey going out here probably within the next month or so to get some input from the public as we move forward. The first round of public meetings actually kicked off last night with the first meeting we had in Mersey Point. There will be seven meetings held during this round of public consultation, and one for each electoral district. So these meetings are open to the general public, and the same information will be conveyed during each of the meetings, so it's not necessary that you attend the meeting that's within your area. So people can attend one, or they can attend all the meetings, actually. So tonight there's a meeting in Port Mattoon at the West Queens Recreational Center. Tomorrow night there's a meeting at Beach Meadows at the Seaside Recreation Center. On Thursday night in Greenfield at the Fire Hall. Next Wednesday, there will be a meeting in the afternoon in Milton at the Milton Community Hall, and then one in Liverpool on Wednesday evening at Queen's Place. And then next Thursday night, there'll be a meeting held in North Queens at the Business Hub. Those meetings are from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, with the exception of the one in Milton that is at 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock. So I guess the intent of these meetings is to gather input from the public on issues relevant to particular areas as well as the region as a whole. The meetings will include elements of information sharing, small group discussions, and some interactive activities. The information that is garnered through these public information meetings will assist in informing the basis for the vision, goals, and guiding principles that the documents will incorporate. Aside from the public information, the general public information meetings, Upland will also be hosting a round of focus groups where there was invited attendees for particular areas of interest. I guess there's four meetings planned, one on business and economic development, which is being held this afternoon. There's a meeting on parks and environmental protection, which will take place tomorrow. They're going to meet with some local contractors and developers. That will be on Thursday, and then there'll be another meeting next Thursday with a focus on community well-being. So really, these are specific invited meetings to gather some higher level input from individuals, groups, and organizations that have a knowledge, understanding, and experience in particular focus areas. So those meetings will also be ongoing over the next week and a half. So essentially, that's an update as to where we are today.
And I asked this to be brought on the agenda today because I just wanted the general public to know what the process was, and I think there's a lot of public, not confusion, but they're not quite sure what planning really is, although we try to promote it as much.
And the word, that's right, and land use planning, and there's planning in every aspect, mm-hmm. And I think that's as part of the process for these public meetings that unfortunately, they have to get there to find that out, but the consultants give an overview of exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
with land use planning to give them a brief background and overview prior to getting into the public input process. So,
Mike, how are they promoting these sessions?
They're via our website, the standalone website, Facebook, Twitter. They're posters within various locations within the communities, post offices, commercial businesses, that sort of thing. So, so I think those are the primary ones.
I know there was a very small turnout last night, so I'm wondering whether people are waiting for other sessions, or maybe we can do a little boost on the promotion.
Yeah, it's getting people to come out. You always want to see more people there, obviously, at the meetings. And I know we went through the same thing back in 2008, 2009, when the regional plans were implemented. Some meetings were very well attended, some not so much. And as we ran through the process, in a particular location, what may have had a small turnout, one round of meetings had a great turnout the next. So it's you never know. I guess you can't. No, you can't predict, and you can't force people to come out. You obviously want to have a good turnout.
Sorry, I just appreciate the question. Any questions, Councilor Pansfield?
Yes, Mike. With these kind of things, it's kind of dry. So it's either you've got something that you're concerned about or want to know about, or you don't have any concern at all. You know, that's basically what it is. So my concern right from the start was having all these meetings everywhere, you might have a few here that might be interested, somebody else here might be interested. It's too bad they wouldn't. I would have liked to just have a couple meetings so that everybody could be there. Maybe somebody else could have brought up a question like, I never even thought about that. That, you know, rather than to see a few here, and they all miss what the other input is from the others.
And I guess that's the challenge. We've got such a large geographical area with Queens County that traditionally, if you held a meeting and say in the Liverpool area, another one in North Queens,
right,
it's a great distance for people to travel, and that's a disincentive to get people to come out. I think the more you get out into the communities, I guess it makes it easier for the public to get out. Now, whether they choose to take advantage of that's obviously up to them. But it's the same. Like I say, it's the same information at each of the meetings. So it's hopefully they'll get enough as they go through, and you'll start to see some recurring themes of what people constitute as issues or things that they want to see for the future of their communities. So. I guess last night was the first meeting. There'll obviously be six more, and hopefully they'll be well attended. So,
okay.
Councilor Kelly?
I'd just like to say I was really shocked that there weren't more people, because at the Mercy Point Hall, because the Mercy Point Hall has a huge membership, or has a huge very involved in the community. And if the people of Mercy Point knew what was going on in their hall, then they would probably come out for it. And I may be thinking just now that there's a gap between the fact that, you know, everyone in Mercy Point is watching the Facebook page for the Mercy Point Community Association. I'm not so sure that was posted on there. So I'm just thinking that maybe Uplands needs to, when they book the halls or everyone they book the halls with, that they ask them to put that out on their the community hall's Facebook page, so that the people in the community know that that's happening. And as far as a dry subject, I think that there's nothing more that people in this community talk about than they may not associate it with municipal planning. And I think that's the thing. I mean, I've been promoting it everywhere possible, on Facebook, on the radio, and everywhere that people come out to do this, because they are shaping our community. And those discussions are, you have to let them know that, and council has the ability to do this as well, that this is what's shaping our community. And that's the main thing that everybody talks about in this community. Everything everyone complains about in the community is municipal planning. That comes back to municipal planning. Everything that they have conversations about affects municipal planning. This is the time to come and have these conversations. All of the challenges to our municipal bylaws in the last 6 years. I mean, I'm gonna say it, chickens. You know what I mean? Chickens. All of that is about municipal planning, and that's why everyone in this community has, no matter what it is, has the ability to come and have their say to change the way we do things, because it's every single conversation, as I said, comes back to municipal planning. So that's the message I think that everybody has to put out there, because it actually involves everybody. There's nobody in this community that should not have one thing to say about municipal planning, because everybody's had it affect their lives.
Councilor Muse?
One of the problems that I think you're gonna have is, like Bill was saying this morning, the advance. A lot of people read that advance and seeing what was going on in the community. I mean, we had the advance we could have put in about, you know, these updates on the community sessions and stuff. A lot of people aren't on Facebook. A lot of people don't have email. So how are we gonna get out there, not just this, a lot of things going on. How are we gonna get to the people and tell them that these are going on?
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, another avenue is they did advertise in the Lighthouse Log and I believe the South Shore Breaker. So I guess they covered, kind of try to cover the print aid component through those. But it's challenging because we don't have the local.
And the session tonight is important.
Important 2 minutes, right.
Like these special sessions, the focus groups, is there any leeway for us as councillors just to kind of drop in on those sessions, or is it by invitation?
I think as councillors, obviously this is council's project. They're certainly not going to have any issue with councillors attending. You know. But they're specific to, I guess, the other individuals, that it's not just general public meetings and do drop-ins like the regular public information sessions are, but councillors, I don't see any issue with that at all.
And I agree with the other councillors here. I know it's not a sexy subject, but at the end of the day, I think when we're doing any kind of communication strategy, we got to find a way to jazz it up a little bit, because we're losing resources. We lost the edge. Did we pick up that many more people on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff? Maybe the audience we're trying to capture, we're not looking. If we continue to do things the same way as we always did it, we're going to get the same results. But anyway, to that end,
And Uplit is trying to do something a little different. They're not just standing up and giving a presentation and open up for comments. They're trying to make it interactive components to it, so that they're breaking them into smaller groups and discussing specific items, so it's a little more interactive than simply standing up and listening to a presentation. So.
I didn't get that warm, pleasant feel from the poster. I'm sure by the sound of things from Rosie Point, they didn't get the same feel as their items. Anyway, just thoughts.
Well, I'd just like to add to that, although even though there's like one in every district of these meetings being held, I would definitely put that message out there that anybody can attend any session they want. It's not just for those people in Fort Mitchell, it's not just for those people in Mersey Point. That's the option to say we had one in your community so that you could attend it, but if you can't attend on that date, to please attend any one that you want, as many as you want, right? It's important that that they understand that giving their vision, and that's how they're getting that information back. So it doesn't matter whether you give it in Fort Mitchell or Mersey Point or where.
And I think you had indicated that in one of your posts
yes,
that they're open,
yeah,
all the meetings are.
And I did as well.
Trying to get that out there, yeah.
Thank you.
Attend them all, Jack, attend them all if they want to get understand what other people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's right.
One thing is again, what they were talking about here earlier, there's so many people out there who do not really be surprising how many people don't use Facebook or even internet. I remember once about Council Matters, we sit here and I said, I take a bunch of those and take them up to the post office. Like, well, I took them up, they were all gone. And they didn't go in the garbage, they were all gone. So I took a whole bunch more up, put there, they went and took them off. They don't see them. Or they throw them, or it's where people are, like they have paper in front of them, or they don't see them. I think even when you put them in the post office, put them on the wall, a lot of times they just don't read them, just walk in and everything.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Mike. Update.